Have you ever felt that way in your life? Have you ever been facing a storm in your life and you felt helpless and you felt abandoned? Maybe even wonder if God is still there or if he still cares about you. We've all had moments in life like that, haven't we? When the waves of the storm that we are facing are rising so high that we don't even know if we're going to be able to survive. Or we don't know if we'll be able to continue to breathe because the waves and the storm are going to overtake us. We've all felt that at some point in our life. It's a helpless feeling, and it's a difficult place to be. There are so many things that can cause us to feel this way in our lives. We can feel this way when we receive bad news about our health. Or maybe we feel this way when our career isn't working out the way that we thought it would or the way that we hoped it would. Or maybe our marriage is failing, and there just doesn't seem to be any hope for getting it back on track. Or maybe our children are making bad choices and have gotten into some things that cause us to worry about their future and their safety. Or maybe a familiar sin has taken grip once again in our life. And once again, we're right back into the patterns of our past, wondering if we'll ever be able to do better and get past our sin. I think we all know how devastating storms can be. Storms like hurricanes and tornadoes and floods and the devastation that they can do. They leave people hopeless sometimes, destroying homes and lives that people have worked so hard to build. Back in 2006, I had the opportunity to go with our youth group here at DCC on a mission trip to New Orleans. And it was 1 year after Hurricane Katrina. And it was just so amazing to see the devastation that that storm did. Just the destruction that that storm caused, how people's lives had just been torn apart, their homes just completely gone, complete neighborhoods just completely washed away, businesses shut down. Just the destruction that that storm caused. And the storms that we face in our life, they can be the same exact way. And I think we've all faced that hopeless feeling of a storm in our life rising up against us. But the good news for all of us today is, one, we're not alone. All of us face storms in one way or the other. We're not weird. There's not something wrong with us. Everyone goes through difficult times. And two, the Bible has a lot to say about facing storms and facing trials in life. And before we dive into God's word this morning and we take a look at what his word has to say about facing trials, let's give this time to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much this morning for your word. We thank you that we can come into this place and study your word and learn from your word. And I pray that it would be an encouragement for all of us today. And I don't know in this room everything that everyone is going through. I'm sure that there are people in this room who are going through difficult times, or they know people who are going through difficult times. So I pray that this passage of scripture that we're going to study this morning, that it'll be an encouragement and that it'll bring hope and that it'll bring peace. God, we thank you for this time. We give it to you. Open our hearts to what you have to say to us this morning. We love you. We praise you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I said, the Bible has a lot to say about facing storms and trials in life. And one of those places that it talks about that is in the book of 1 Peter. So go ahead and turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4. And 1 Peter is a book that was written by the Apostle Peter. And it was written to kind of Christians in general, whereas some of the New Testament books, such as Romans and Corinthians and Ephesians, are written to specific churches and specific groups of Christians. 1 Peter is written to Christians and the church in general. And the passage that we're going to be looking at this morning and that we're going to be looking at is from 1 Peter 4, and it talks about suffering as a Christian. So let's go ahead and begin reading in 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to read verse 12. Verse 12 says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you." So what is this verse saying? It's saying don't be surprised when you face difficult times in life. Don't act like something strange is happening to you. It's a difficult circumstance, and in this life, we should expect for them to happen. Peter even calls it a painful trial. Depending on what version of the Bible you're holding, it may even call it a fiery ordeal. That's pretty descriptive, isn't it? And it sounds like a pretty bad situation, a painful trial or a fiery ordeal. It sounds pretty intense. So not only will we face trials in life, but they may even get pretty bad at times. They may be really difficult, actually. And they may test our faith and test our perseverance. But Peter says, don't be surprised by them. And so that's the first thing that I want us to take away from this passage this morning. Don't be surprised by the storms. Peter is saying that bad stuff is going to happen. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean bad stuff won't happen to you while you're here on this earth. It's going to happen, and we shouldn't be surprised by it. We live in an imperfect world that's full of imperfect people. There is sin all around us. There are bad things happening all around us. Bad things happen in this world. We have sin in our lives. And because the world is imperfect, we are not going to be able to live a perfect life that is free of trials and free of hardships. It's just not going to happen. So we shouldn't be surprised by the storms. Let's continue reading. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13. It says, "But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the spirit of glory in God rests on you." And so you might be thinking as we're reading this passage, at first we're talking about how we're going to go through painful trials in life and how difficult they could get and how difficult they may be. And now we're reading that we're supposed to rejoice when they happen. I mean, that sounds kind of crazy, right? Doesn't that sound like the opposite of how we would feel in a difficult circumstance? How can we find joy in the middle of our suffering? How can we find joy in the middle of our health issues? How can we find joy in the middle of our marriage or relationship issues? How can we find joy in the middle of our financial issues? That doesn't seem to make sense. But Peter gives us the answer when he says, as you participate in the sufferings of Christ. So does that mean that we're going to go through exactly what Jesus went through on the cross for us? No, but it does mean that when we decide to follow Jesus and to live our life for him, we are opening ourselves up to the possibility of suffering and persecution. We're opening ourselves up to the possibility of bad things happening in our lives. We're opening ourselves up to people disagreeing with our faith or making fun of us or even suffering for our faith. But see, we're lucky here in the United States. We have it pretty easy as Christians here in America. We can come to these nice big buildings that are built specifically for our church. We can come and worship freely. We have a band that leads us in worship and leads the music. We have lights. We have video screens. We have websites and Facebook pages. We have small groups, men's ministries, women's ministries. We can drop our kids off to classes that are specifically for them, and they're safe and secure. We don't have to hide when it comes to our faith. We're free to worship however we want. We have it easy as Christians in the United States, but it's not that way everywhere else in the world. See, I think the words that we're reading from this passage in 1 Peter this morning, I think they may mean something a little different to Christians maybe in a place like China. I read a story this week about a pastor in China, and his name was Pastor Su. And he had been leading house churches and Christian churches in China for years. And throughout that time, he had become accustomed to being under surveillance and even being questioned because of his faith. And last December, the church that he was pastoring was actually shut down by the Chinese government because the church was not operating under the government's terms. The church was growing. They had acquired a 7,000 square foot facility, and they had several hundred people that were attending their worship services every week. The government had been issuing warnings to this church and to Pastor Su and even arrests for more than a year to keep their meetings small and to keep them more social meetings rather than religious or about Jesus. And so finally there was a raid on December 9th of last year in 2015, and they took songbooks and Bibles and they shut down the church. See, the Communist Party in China is trying to control the spread of religion in their country in an effort to, as they say, maintain social stability. There are raids happening in churches. There are pastors and church leaders being arrested, yet Christianity is the fastest growing religion in China. House churches are thriving in China. They're illegal, but they're growing in huge numbers. And how is that? These Christians are facing persecution. They're facing the possibility of being arrested. Yet the church in China is growing like never before. And I wonder, would the church in America survive that? Would we be willing to risk as much as the Christians in China do to still meet together as believers? Do we care about it that much? Do we love the church that much? I'm not sure how the church in America would do because we have it easy. And yet the church in America is in decline. We have this freedom in our country, the freedom to worship how we want without having to worry about being tortured or persecuted. The church in America has the opportunity to be something great because of the freedoms that we have. We don't have to hide from anything. Yet the church in America is in decline. People are attending church less and less. People are giving less to the church. People are serving less in the church. More and more churches are closing their doors in America each and every week. More pastors are giving up and leaving the ministry every week. And why is that? Why do we struggle to commit to this thing that Jesus gave us as a way to spread the gospel? We have it easy, and I think sometimes we treat the church that way. We treat the church like we have it easy. But Peter is talking about the potential of suffering for what we believe. And in the end, all of the apostles did. They were tortured, they were thrown in jail, and they were even killed for preaching about Jesus, yet they still did it. But we struggle to attend and to serve on a regular basis. But I also think as Christians, the suffering isn't necessarily just because of the fact that we are a Christian. We aren't going to necessarily face suffering just because we follow Jesus, especially here in America. Sometimes we'll face difficult circumstances as believers because the world is a bad place and bad things happen in our world. And I think what Paul is partly getting at is that Jesus, he understood suffering. He went through plenty of it. People doubted him. People made fun of him. They questioned his teaching. They tried to get rid of him. They betrayed him. And eventually they murdered him. Jesus understands going through difficult times, and not just as God, not just sitting on his throne in heaven, but here on earth as a person in human flesh, Jesus understands suffering. And so the second thing that we learned from this passage this morning is that we should rejoice in the middle of the storms. And that's not an easy thing to do. But if we know that we are living in God's will, we can find joy and find a way to rejoice even in difficult circumstances. Go ahead and hold your spot in 1 Peter chapter 4. I want us to look at another passage of scripture just for a couple of minutes. Turn back to the book of James. James chapter 1 should just be a few pages back from 1 Peter. James chapter 1, we're going to read starting in verse 2. James chapter 1, verse 2 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." And then skip down to verse 12. Verse 12 says, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." And so James is saying that we can rejoice in these difficult times because it develops perseverance and it makes us mature and it makes us complete. That means that we have to see the good in the difficult times. It's in the difficult times in life that we learn and grow and that we become better and we become more mature. Maybe you're going through a difficult time right now in your life and you're thinking, yeah, right. That's easy for you to say. You obviously have no idea what I'm going through in my life. And you're right, I don't. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know how bad you're struggling. I don't know how difficult your life has become. And I don't know how long that you've been fighting whatever circumstance you're in the middle of. But that's why you don't rejoice in me. And that's why you don't rejoice in any other person, and that you rejoice only in Jesus Christ alone. Jesus does understand all of those things, and he understands what it means to suffer here on earth. And if you'll let him, he'll help you to learn and grow from your circumstance and become stronger and more mature because of it. So let's turn back to 1 Peter, and let's continue in our passage in 1 Peter. And so far we've learned that we shouldn't be surprised when we face storms in life. We shouldn't be surprised by them. And we should rejoice in the middle of the storms that we face. So let's continue reading in 1 Peter 4, verse 15. And it says, if you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. So the third thing that we're going to learn from this passage this morning is that we should praise God through the storms. And why would we do that? Why would we give God praise in the midst of a difficult time in our life? Peter says it's because we get to bear the name. We get to call ourselves a Christian. We get to bear the name of Jesus Christ. We are considered one with Christ because of what he did on the cross for us and because we've been baptized into him. That means that no matter what we go through in life, our future is set. Eternity has been decided for us. We can praise God through the storms because we know that what we are facing is only temporary compared to being with God for all of eternity. And so this point of praising God through the storms, it may seem a little bit similar to our previous point of rejoicing in the middle of the storms, but they are different. Rejoicing in the middle of the storms is all about recognizing the growth and the maturity that will come from facing trials in life. Praising God through the storm is all about worshiping and glorifying God in spite of our circumstance, in spite of the fact that we are going through a difficult time. Can you see the difference there? It's not always easy to worship God when things are difficult and uncertain, and sometimes we don't feel like worshiping God in the midst of those times, but it's what we're called to do. Back in the Old Testament, King David, he definitely went through a lot of difficult times. Some of his difficult times were brought on by himself, but some of them were not. And he faced a lot of difficult times because he was the king of Israel, because God had chosen him to lead his people. And I love what it says in Psalm chapter 28, verse 2. David writes, "Hear my cry for mercy as I call to you for help, as I lift up my hands toward your most holy place." Did you catch that? As David is crying for mercy and calling out to God for help, he is lifting his hands toward God and the heavens. Raising your hands, that's an act of surrender. Raising your hands is an act of worship. And that's what David is doing. He's going through a difficult time, and he's obviously in need of God's mercy, but he's not going to stop worshiping in the midst of it. He knows that in spite of his circumstance, that God is still God, and he is in control. And that's why we should praise God through the storm. So let's finish out our passage today in 1 Peter 4 and read verses 17 through 19. Starting in verse 17, it says, "For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good." You know, I think what it says in verse 19, it's so simple. It's very simple, but it's really difficult for us to do. It's urging us to commit ourselves to God, to our faithful Creator, because He is bigger than any circumstance that we'll face in this life. He's the creator of the universe. He formed all of creation with his own hands. And if that's true, if that's who God is, certainly he is bigger and greater and stronger than whatever circumstance that we are facing in life. And if that's the case, why wouldn't we trust him with the trials we are facing? Why wouldn't we trust him in the middle of our storm? And that's the last thing I want us to take away from our passage this morning, to trust God to see you through the storms. Trust him to see you through the storms. There's no better place to put your trust. There is no better place to put your hope than in the one who created you, in the one who breathed life into your lungs, in the one who has a plan and a purpose for your life. He never fails. He never delays. His ways and his timing are always perfect. It may not seem that way to us, but the Bible tells us that his ways are higher, so we can't always comprehend everything about God. So when you're in the middle of a storm, trust God with it. Trust that he is going to see you through and that his will and his plan are perfect. You know, I think that goes for us as individuals, but I think the same goes for us as a church as well. Our church has gone through a difficult time the last few weeks. It's really difficult, and we're going to continue going through a difficult transition. And there are going to be some hard times and some difficult times. And rightfully so, I know there is some uncertainty out there. And I know there is some concern for the future of DCC. And if you feel that way, you have every right to feel that way, to have questions and to have concerns and to be worried about our church. But here's what I know. God is still God. Jesus is still the head of the church. Jesus is still the head of this church. And the Bible promises that God's church, it cannot and it will not be defeated. 1 Peter chapter 4 is a promise for our church as well, not just us as individuals, but for our church. It's a promise to hold on and to keep our trust in God. It's a reminder that God is in control of our church and he hasn't forgotten about us. He still has plans for DCC. The last time I checked, there are still people in our community who have not received Christ as their Lord and Savior. There are still people to be reached. And as long as that is the case, God is not done with us. He is not done with this church. There is still room for the gospel to be spread in Delaware. And if we trust and continue to commit to the mission of spreading the gospel, great things can happen here. And we will come through the other side stronger and wiser because of it. And I believe that. I believe it 100%. So not only is it important for us as individuals to trust God through the storms, but as a church, we have to do that. And when we do, I love the promise that we receive just one chapter ahead in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. You don't have to turn there. It's going to come up on the screen for you. And it says, "And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast." Isn't that awesome? Isn't that an amazing promise from God's word? God will save you from your suffering, and not only that, he will restore you. He will make you strong and firm and steadfast. The God of creation, the God of the universe, Jesus, who died on the cross for us, loves us enough to care what we are going through in life. He cares about the storm that we are facing. He cares about the fact that maybe we are so close to giving up. He cares about the fact that we are feeling hopeless. He cares about the fact that we are confused and scared and full of doubt. He cares about all those things. And his plan is to fix it. His plan is to restore us. His plan is to make us strong again. What an amazing promise that is. And so this morning, I don't know what you are going through in your life currently. I don't know what you're struggling with. But what I do know, and what I know God wants you to know, is that you can trust him. God wants you to know that you can put your faith in him. We don't have to fear the storms in life. We don't have to give up. We don't have to give in. We can continue to trust and continue to lift our eyes to God, because he is always faithful. He always cares for us, and he never leaves us alone. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you so much for your love for us. We thank you that you care for us. We thank you that we can know, no matter what we are facing in life, that you are with us, that you understand what we're going through, that you care about what we're going through. We thank you for your word, the truth that we can find in your word, the promises that we can find in your word. We thank you for this passage of scripture from 1 Peter this morning. God, I pray that it's an encouragement to all of us. I pray that we would take this to heart. I pray that this would help us to deal with whatever circumstance we're currently going through in a different way. And Lord, I don't know what everyone in the room is going through today, but I do know that there are people going through stuff. I know that there are people going through difficult times. If they're not going through it themselves, they know people who are. And so, Lord, I pray that your word would bring strength this morning. I pray that your word would bring encouragement. Lord, I also thank you this morning for Jesus. I thank you that you made a way for us. I thank you that you loved us enough to send Jesus to die on the cross for us so that we could have forgiveness and salvation and hope of eternity with you. And we can hope in that. We can rejoice in that. And we thank you for that this morning. God, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for all that you've done for us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.